This morning we also give thanks because we get a wonderful reminder that we are not alone, we're not on our own, we're part of the Lord's worldwide family. The church is in every nation, in every place. And we're going to have an interview now with Jay Kayangyang from Groton in Connecticut in the United States. We thought it would be good to get a broader perspective, particularly with what is happening right now in America. And Jay's become a friend of mine, Jay and his wife Linda. We spent some time with them a few years ago. We've been hoping to get them over here, and it's just been impossible to do that, made even more difficult by what's going on currently. But this is an interview. We recorded this on Friday evening after Ali and I chatted with Jay and Linda for a while. We did this interview with Jay. So this is Jay Kayangyang. Well, it is Friday night, and I'm here with Jay Kayangyang, who's a great friend of mine from the United States. Jay, it's lovely to see you, my brother.
Hey, it's good to see you, Dave. Great to connect.
Just tell us, whereabouts in the United States are you?
Yes, so we are, I'm at Bishop Seabury Anglican Church, and we are located in a location that is exactly about 2 hours east of New York City and about 2 hours southwest of Boston. So we're right in the middle of two major metropolitan areas in southeastern Connecticut. And in Connecticut, we're on the southeastern corner, right almost next to the state of Rhode Island. We can be there in 20 minutes.
And sorry, your church is named after...
It's named to serve the church here in North America. And so several of the clergy in the state of Connecticut at that time prayed about who they wanted to send to try and see if they can have someone made a bishop to provide leadership here. Well, the first guy they selected said he was too old and couldn't make the transatlantic travel at that time. So it defaulted to plan B, which was Samuel Seabury. And he ended up going to overseas to try and seek consecration as a bishop. At that time, you had to take an oath of allegiance to the king, so the English bishops wouldn't do it. And so Samuel Seabury found his way to Scotland with, at the time, the non-juring bishops who were willing to consecrate him. And so that's how we got our first bishop here in North America.
So there's a great Scottish connection between you guys and us. So that's wonderful. And that's really what brought us together. That's how we got to know each other. Someone suggested putting us in the room or we should meet when I was, Ali and I were over there. So and you're married?
I'm married. Linda, yeah. And together we have 5 children, 3 boys, 2 girls. And my kids are all a little bit older. My oldest son will be 22 this year, and a daughter that's 20, a son that's 18, the other that's 17, and a 13-year-old.
Yeah, you're way too young looking to have children that age, Jay. So listen, tell us a little bit. You've got, you are part of the Anglican Church in North America?
Yes, we are, yep.
And you recently got a new building. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've been in this area for a long time, but when we left the Episcopal Church in that process, we lost our building. So we migrated in the wilderness. We were meeting in a hotel room for a while. Then we found a location at an old elementary school. We met there for a few years. And then right across the street from that old elementary school was an old church building that was being used as a home furnishings, resale store, as well as like a consignment shop. And the owner of that building one day said he wanted to sell it, and he was committed to historic preservation. And so he was looking for a church to sell the building to. And so this church, that building that we're meeting in, was built in the 1850s. And it was the first Methodist church in our community. And a neat part to that story is before we moved into this building that we own now, is that the Methodist church that once owned this building, which is just a couple of blocks away, allowed us to meet in their location while we were awaiting our move into our present place. So I
mean, wonderful that that the Lord has provided you with that new home. So it's so encouraging to know that. But obviously, the world is going through this traumatic time with the pandemic, and we know that that is global. I wonder what would you say? What for your people at Seabury? What has the Lord been doing amongst your people? What has the Lord been saying to you through these difficult times?
So what is really amazing is how the Holy Spirit is always at work. And I believe that he was really preparing us for this moment before we even realized how significant the pandemic was going to be. Around January, February, we were hearing things that were going on overseas, but COVID-19 hadn't really hit us yet. But we were in a place where there was a particular longing and a yearning for prayer among several members of my parish. I know in my own life, there was a longing and a yearning for prayer. So there were pockets of prayer, people meeting together simply just to pray and seek the Lord. And all of that was already taking place. And so it's almost like God had pre-positioned us to be ready spiritually for this moment. And so that was kind of what was happening. And there was a particular passage of scripture in Psalm 107, just a couple of weeks before the pandemic broke out, from 107, verse 26, the ships were tossed to the heaven and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. And I was at a place, me personally, I was at a place where I was like, Lord, this is your church. And oftentimes I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, I just need your wisdom. So I felt like I was at my wit's end. And so I cried out to God. And verse 28 says, Lord, help. They cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. And so as we entered into this pandemic, I think the posture of my heart and what I've encouraged my parishioners' hearts is that, Lord, help. We were already kind of in that place. Lord, you're in charge. You know what you're doing.
Wonderful. And I think we would have similar a similar sense of what the Lord has been saying to us throughout all of this. And we continue to learn. I think it's all of us are continuing to learn and listen. We're having to listen more carefully to what the Lord's saying. You know, the big thing that we've picked up over in the United Kingdom and Scotland, of course, that's been happening in recent weeks is the tragic killing of George Floyd. And I wonder whether you've got thoughts on that. What might be, how's the church responding? How can the church best respond to that? What's your feeling about what has happened? We have had demonstrations here, and people have got quite concerned about the whole subject of racism and so on. It seems like one of those Kairos moments. You know, the Lord somehow is in this. But I just as someone, as an American, I'm trying to find the right way to say it. Filipino connections, is that a good way to put it? what would be your take, and how might we best pray for our friends in North America?
Yeah, so I don't think there's any denying of the horror of George Floyd and how he died at the hands of someone who should have been protecting him. A law enforcement officer whose job is to protect and serve the public. But it really brought forth a lot of emotion and a lot of anger, a lot of pent up frustration that's been existing in this country for a while. And it's really brought the issue of racism back into play. And definitely it's not something that the people of God can ignore, because the gospel speaks to a moment like this where God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. We have been given this ministry of reconciliation. And so our true hope is to be found in Jesus, is to be found in Christ. And so the church's role at this moment in time isn't to remain silent or to run away, but simply to say, one, we're listening to the pain, but we have answers, and we can point you to the source of true hope. What I was grateful for is that when all of this broke out, already reeling from the effects of quarantine and being shut in during the pandemic, and then all of a sudden this explosion of protests, and much of the protests were peaceful, but then pockets of violence and rioting that came with it, was Archbishop Beach called us to a week of prayer and fasting. And I know here at Bishop Seabury, we took that to heart. I reached out to my congregation. I said, hey, what we have to do at this moment in time is to cry out to God and to seek for healing in our land, that God would give us answers and wisdom on how to minister at this moment. So we spent a week in prayer and fasting here at Bishop Seabury.
Yeah, and I think that's quite helpful. It's helpful to hear that from you. What can we pray today for you? What would be helpful for us to be praying for you and for Seabury Church? What can we pray for?
So I think we're living in a moment in history where people are much more sensitive to the things of the Spirit, whether they kind of realize it or not, that there is a place for a discussion and a conversation about God. There is a place for a conversation and discussion about eternity. My prayer for us at Bishop Seabury is that we become a visible presence in our community, that when people think about God or think about where can I find answers, the first thought that will come to mind is the people over there at Bishop Seabury. They love God. Maybe I can go there and find out more. And that when they encounter our folks here, our church family, they would encounter a people of grace and a people who know the truth and the hope that is in them. Dave, I actually have a sense that here at Seabury that God is calling us to be a house of prayer. And I would love to see here take place a 24/7 prayer chapel, that even if you're not a member of Bishop Seabury, you know that you can go to this space and pray, or that you can go to this place and be prayed for. And I think that's sort of a special place that the Lord is calling us to. And I don't know what all that looks like and what that means yet, but that's kind of where I'm headed, because that's what I'm sensing the direction we need to go in.
We are hoping in the next couple of weeks that we might move into what the government are calling phase two, which will mean churches will be able to open for, I think they're calling it private prayer, but what they really mean is individual prayer. And it may be I'm not sure how that's going to work, what it's going to look like. But it may be, it's interesting that prayer is going to be the first feature of why church buildings are going to open up. You know, it's what we do. You know, it's we talk to the Lord, we're in conversation with him. So maybe what you've just said might be an inspiration for us to think about how the Lord might use us in the coming days. Listen, thank you so much for talking with me tonight. And sharing with me. You will be in our prayers. I know that St. Thomas's people will be delighted to have made your acquaintance through this medium, and we will keep you in prayer, my brother. Okay.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thanks.